Once again, I'm joined by Matt Stringer, the Chief Executive of RNIB, for our weekly catch-up on some of the big stories coming from the UK Sight Loss Charity. Matt, thank you once again for joining us.
Hello, Alan.
Right, we've got three topics to talk about today. We're going to finish off with television, which is quite an interesting one, but a bigger picture, so to speak, coming from that as well. But we're going to start off with some great news about our eye clinic liaison officers.
As the title suggests, the people who sit adjacent to sort of eye clinics, and as people come through having had an eye health sort of diagnosis, are able to assist those people in what they might need next and refer them to a whole raft of services and things available to them, which is going to help them depending on whatever their eye health condition are. Often those are services that the RNIB offer, our helpline, reading services, welfare, etc. And we have great links across the sector and into local authorities, and we can refer people to all sorts of help and assistance. And we have officers, you know, up and down the country in a variety of hospitals and sort of health trusts. And the good news this week is we're celebrating our 100th ECLO, who is Renu Walia. And Renu is based at Chase Farm Hospital in Enfield in North London, and also within that trust provides support to patients at Barnet Hospital and Edgware Community Hospital. So we've been adding about 10 a year for the last 3 years or so. So we're now up to 100. And actually, we've got plans in the pipeline through this year to kick on to be well above 100. And also, you know, refer to quite what a great job ECLOs have done through COVID, actually, when not being able in every case to get into hospitals because of the COVID restrictions, certainly through 2020, you know, able to set up virtual working remotely. And we put all sorts of digital capability in to allow us to serve people.
It is great to hear when you think about the clinicians themselves, you know, when they have to deliver that diagnosis, someone is losing their sight, you know, they, with all good intentions, don't have the time or the knowledge to help going forward in terms of, you know, how does the person carry on their life? How do they grow as well? So having the ECLOs there, they're there in the clinic, so they can be there virtually as well. They're there immediately to give people help, advice, and, you know, at that person's pace as well, because I suppose you have to think about they're taking in the news at the same time.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, clearly there's a whole spectrum of sort of diagnoses that people can come out of an eye health appointment with, some very serious news, you know, might be imparted. So there's a lot of tact, you know, for our ECLOs to deploy in recognising how people are feeling coming through that process and being able to engage very empathetically and being able to steer them towards help that they might need, but often might not be in a mental state, you know, in terms of just, you know, absorbing new news, you know, to take in. And so that empathy, that knowledge is all part of the skills of being an ECLO. And as you say, often it's can be quite a slow burn to sort of work with people as they understand, you know, what's now going to happen next and actually sort of see the benefit of the ECLO referrals that we can make. And actually the sort of strength we're showing in this area is giving us great confidence to work within the NHS to try and sort of influence and inform the broader sort of eye health pathway so that we can end up providing support either side of a sort of ECLO experience, either slightly earlier diagnosis, earlier referral, or indeed, you know, making sure that services in place post-referral are much more sort of consistent and thorough.
Like a happy 100th. Indeed. Let's move on to, well, it's a topic we've been discussing recently, Matt. This is to do with a bill around elections, which is currently ping-ponging its way between the Lords and the Commons at the moment. There was disappointment that the legislation was, I say, quite weak in terms of enshrining really the rights of blind and partially sighted people to be able to cast their votes independently and in secrecy. Still work going ahead on that and an ongoing campaign?
The news this week is as part of our ongoing work within Parliament, and as you mentioned, we've been lobbying in the Commons and this bill's now gone to the Lords and we've got a lot of activity with Lords. We're hoping supporting our amendments here before it comes back to the Commons sort of later in the year. So to ramp up the pressure and the knowledge, so today we've launched a petition, which we want to create as to be as big as possible to send to Michael Gove. Part of his remit is this bill. So he's the minister ultimately responsible for the elections bill. So we want to send him the most powerful signal that we can, which is a massive petition to show that this is a big issue and something that he needs to take notice of, and a move to include our amendment to allow people to vote independently and in secrecy. We've run a sort of variety of activities to support the launch of the petition. If you go to our website and all over our social media, you'll see all sorts of things going on and information. And particularly all of those links have a link, all of those channels have a link to the petition. So please do sign it. I'm looking at it now on our website as I'm speaking to you, and get it sent off to us, and we will make sure we compile that petition. Don't take away my right to vote in secret. And the hashtag we're using around this whole campaign is hashtag blind voters count. So quite a powerful message there, and watch out for us, you know, really continuing to drive this very, very hard over the next sort of weeks and months, and getting the biggest petition we can. You know, petitions might sound a bit old-fashioned in terms of a campaigning trick, but, you know, we presented a petition with about 16,000 signatures on to the Department of Transport over the sort of tactile edges to station platforms, and that petition went to the Department of Transport, as I say, Network Rail, and that was an important sort of part of the strategy in getting those two organisations to sort of sit up and take notice and get a positive result in terms of money being brought forward and the time to do the work being brought forward. So we hope a really powerful petition will have an impact on Michael Gove on this electoral bill.
And Matt, we're going to finish off with a bit of weekend television, which we don't normally do.
Well, yeah, well, there's millions of people up and down the country who will be watching Casualty on Saturday night in the BBC. It's been running for about 30 years. I remember it from my university days, so still going strong. And it's great that Georgie Morrell is appearing on Saturday's edition. We just put some stuff out on social media where there's a photo of her clearly in character in a hospital bed in a gown. And, you know, why are we talking about it? Well, you know, great for Georgie to land a part, but, you know, from the RNIB and everyone who's blind and partially sighted, you know, this is exactly what we need to be doing, and getting more blind role models out in very visible fora, whether it's television programmes, whether it's in the news, whether it's on the radio, you know, and just making people understand what it means to be blind and partially sighted. It's completely normal. It gets society to understand and be able to engage and understand the issues so much better. And it's something we've been lobbying the BBC on separately. I had a meeting with the Director General earlier in the year. This is one of the things we were talking to him about. I'm not saying that spawned this, but it's all part of getting TV companies, television channels, production companies all to realise that this is what we should be doing more of. And it's great that we've got such a powerful role model as Georgie appearing in Casualty on Saturday night.
Indeed, tune in. Of course, Georgie is also the host of our Sounds of the Silver Screen show. She's on Fridays. So from the silver screen to the small screen for Georgie. Well done to her. Now, if you would like more information on any of the topics we've been discussing, or would like to learn a bit more about RNIB, its work, and how it can support blind and partially sighted people, go to the website rnib.org.uk. You can also call our helpline on 0303 123 9999, and use your Amazon Echo device. Just ask Lady A to call RNIB helpline. So lots of ways to get in touch. Matt, we were once again out of time. I will catch up with you again next week, and thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, my pleasure, Alan, absolutely. And, you know, very full week at the RNIB and some pretty interesting things to talk to you about. So thank you for having me.